to our teaching. Last time we got together, we were talking about faith part four. Say that real fast. Faith part four. We got together and we're talking about faith, and I don't know how much longer I'm going to go with this. We might get back into Deuteronomy to finish that up once we start getting back together live with each other, because I do want to finish. That was very powerful teaching and a blessing. So we may head back that way. But until then, we'll continue on this path. So faith part four, last time we got together, Hebrews chapter 11. Remember, Lord will never create a world for you where faith is not needed. He will never create a world for me where faith is not needed. I will always, every day, with every breath, live by faith. And I want to give you another saying the Lord gave to me many years ago. He said to me, faith is not an option. He said, it's a lifestyle. Faith is not an option. It is a lifestyle. So it's a lifestyle of faith. It's a lifestyle of faith. I don't show you my faith on Sunday and Wednesday. I live my faith. I live my faith Monday all the way through, and so should you. Okay, so it's not an option. It's a lifestyle. So Hebrews chapter 11, we began in verse 11 talking about dunamis power, talking about Sarah. So we'll turn there real quick. Hebrews chapter 11. That is the hall of fame for those in faith. Amen. And I believe we're going to get there ourselves as we move forward. But it said, through faith, or by faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed. So dunamis power. She received power to conceive the seed. Now, she was 90 years old and Abraham about 100 years old. And so, you know, in the natural state of affairs, as we taught last time, it didn't seem possible. But with God, all things are possible. When something looks dead and barren and unable to produce, God says, guess what? It will come to pass if you will just operate in faith. So faith is, watch this, faith is taking the belief system that's inside of you and I and allowing the Holy Spirit to activate it in dunamis power, in dynamite type of power, to produce what God wants to happen on the face of the earth. Remember, I said this in the beginning of this teaching, that faith is the currency of heaven and earth. Talking about kingdom life. I'm talking spiritual life. I understand that wherever we live and part of the world we live, we live by the currencies that are offered, whether it's the ruby or the Cuban convertible peso or the dollar or the peso in Mexico. Whatever it is, we operate by that currency. But the truth of the matter is, true believers, disciples in Christ, those that live in the kingdom realm of God and his kingdom and of his Christ, we live according to the currency of faith that does not have a dollar value. It doesn't have any type of value that can be earthly measured, because it is measureless. I mean, it's priceless. We're talking about the provision of God. What can he not do? What is there that God cannot produce? He created everything, and all of it was for his pleasure. So if you need bread on the table, he can make that happen. You need to pay your light bill, you need to do this and that, he can make that happen. And so it's all available to us, and obviously you don't have faith without work, so you got to work this thing. So you can't take the message and run off and just blab out the mouth and say, well, God owes me. No, there's a lot more to this walking by faith. But going back to that, we're talking about the dunamis type of faith. At verse 12, I was talking about there was no limits to faith. There's no limits to faith. We have yet to see what a man or a woman, a child of God, can do with God, through God, in God, by faith. We have yet to see. We have yet to see. That's why it's so encouraging to go to Hebrews chapter 11 and see all these great accomplishments that were done through God and man by faith. Okay? So it's unlimited. There's no limits to God. If you can limit God, then you can limit faith. if you can stop God at a certain point, say, oh, that's as far as you can go because that's just, you don't have any more power, you don't have any more abilities, you don't have any more strength, so on it goes, then you have limited faith. But you can't. You can't limit God. It's impossible. You can by stopping him from what he wants to do. But when you allow him to do what he wants to do, nothing is impossible. That's why he said in his word, there's nothing impossible for those who believe. There it is, right there. You have to believe. That's the ignition point. Let's see. I took you to chapter or verse 13. Let's look there real quick. These all died in the faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. In other words, they continued to move forward. We got up there on the screen. It'll be up here for me, but it won't be back there for you guys on live stream or YouTube. But all these died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off. They saw them afar off, and faith caused them to continuously be on their journey, and they didn't give up. You ever wanted to give up? It's easy to give up when you have the eyes of fear. But when you have the eyes of faith let you see beyond the temporal and let you see beyond the obstacles and cause you to go over that finish line. Man, I just love going over this again and again. The word embrace, we talked about that. Where is that? In verse 14, is that? Give me the next verse here. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. Go on, next one. And truly, if they did, they've been mindful of that country from whence they came out of. They might have had opportunity to have returned. One more. But now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. So they're moving towards that city, to that destination, and they see it. You see, faith will cause a map to be in your heart. Watch this. Faith will cause a map to be in your heart. You won't go around in circles looking from boundary to boundary. You won't go from city limits to city limits. You will go to the destination, the place called destiny, because you know there's a city whose what? Builder and maker is God. That city is Jesus. That destiny is Jesus. How do you get there? By faith. That's your GPS system. You don't need a Garmin. You don't need one of those little things to, you know, take you around town. Not in the kingdom. All you need is faith. Now watch this. But now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. They desired. They went after. They embraced. They stretched forth. Man, give me what's the next verse? That was verse 16. Now, go back up to 16 because we're going to get into tonight on 17. So I basically ended last time getting together with just pursuing, getting into that city, not being ashamed. They desired, they stretched forth. Man, we need that today. We got to stretch forth past where we are today. We can't allow this stuff that's going on in the earth today, judgment and, you know, the plans of men and all the craziness that's going on to paralyze us in fear and stop us. We have to stretch forward and say, by faith, I'm going to accomplish what God called me to accomplish. I may not understand it all. I may not have seen this coming or that coming, or not. I got to adjust to this way now. Wait, the wind's blowing this way. I've got to adjust my sails. It's okay. But by faith, you're going to accomplish it, and you're going to stretch forward. And you'll say, okay, God, you put me here for such a time as this. I'm stronger now than I've ever been. I've been through too much to know that you will be there with me. You will never leave me, never forsake me. You are for me, not against me. Woo. And my faith begins to rise up within me like a furnace, man. It begins to fuel the fire that shut up in my bones. And I become more determined than ever to fulfill the will of God because I see the day coming. I see what's happening in the Word. I see what's happening in the future. I see what's happening in prophecy. And I know that my King is coming. And will he find faith on the earth when he comes? Yes, sir, he will. He's going to find it in you. He's going to find it in me. He's going to find it right here at Ignited Church. We're going to work this. We're going to work while it's yet light. He said, occupy till I come. Do something. Get in battle stations. Get in battle position. Get it done. He didn't say hide out and hang out and hide behind a mask. Hide behind a trench or what have you. No, he said, get up and fight. Get up and plow. Get up and work. All right, so we're going to do that. And how are we going to do it? We're going to do it by faith. We're going to do it by faith. We're going to do it God's way. We're the generation called for such a time as this. We are the final generation. So there is a final, watch this, there's a final blueprint for the end time church that is found in faith. Won't be found in any other way. You can't buy this at the prep store. You can't buy this at an end time prep store or something online. This is in the Word of God. This is the final prep plan right here, the Word of God. And we're going to do everything by faith. See, everybody went out and they bought beans, bullets, and they bought this and they bought that. Very few people bought faith. You say, how do you buy faith? You buy faith by faith. I said, you buy faith by faith. You just buy it by faith. You say, Lord, I'm going to sacrifice what I think, and I'm going to lose control of what I think, the way it should be done, and how I'm going to manipulate things, and how I'm going to put my hands on things. And by faith, I give you all that, and I say, Lord, take care of me. Show me what to do. Give me eyes to see, discernment. Give me understanding. How do I move and live and have my being in you during a time of crisis? How do I do this? See, a lot of people didn't teach that. We've been teaching this for a long time. You can have all those preps. That's good. That's awesome. But if you don't have faith, you don't have anything. Let me try that again. You can have all the stuff. You can have gold to the top of the house. You can have silver filling the pool. You can have all kinds of stuff. But if you don't have faith, you don't have the right element to make it in the last days. You won't make it. I promise you, you will not make it. The Bible says in the book of Revelation, in the last days, when it comes to the last of the last days, they're going to throw all the gold and the silver in the streets. How'd that work out for you? I didn't say you shouldn't have it. What I'm telling you, there's coming a time when there will be nothing left but faith in God. And you better have that. Not faith in a preacher, not faith in a church. Not faith in live stream, not faith. You better have the faith in God, the faith of God, the God kind of faith. And you don't get that unless you read this Bible. You don't get it unless you continuously study and get underneath a preacher or preachers that tell you the truth and bring forth the word of life to you. All right, that's a pretty good introduction for Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17. So let's look at this here as we move on this journey of faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, by faith, when Abraham was tried. Now, really, the word should be tested. Abraham was tested. I want you to write this down in your notes. Faith will always test you. Faith will always test you. If you're going to buy faith, if you're going to obtain faith, if you're going to get faith from God, which it begins in salvation as a mustard seed, you get that saving faith, and then that faith increases as you continuously read the word and water and weed. Yeah, you got to weed. You got to get the junk out of the garden of your life, the soul, the mindset. You got to get rid of old baggage. And as you begin to do that, and you begin to prune, you allow the Holy Spirit to teach you, train you, and cleanse you. Then your faith increases. So he gives you what? Ever increasing faith. And he also gives you what? Faith that overcomes the world. People say, I can't make it in this world. Yes, you can. You have overcoming faith. You just got to activate that faith and let God cultivate that faith inside of you. So by faith, when he was tried or he was tested, so faith tests you and your faith will be tested. faith will test you, and your faith will be tested. Now, some translations say tried, and then some say tempted. Well, James says that God doesn't tempt any man. Tempting comes from the devil. God doesn't tempt you. God doesn't put anything in front of you and say, you know, I want to see what you would do if you're going to go after this or not. He doesn't do that. He will allow a testing to come in your life. But if it's anything evil, it doesn't come from God. Now, God allows things to happen and things we don't totally understand the mechanisms of God. But one thing we do know is the message of God. And the message is he's a God of love. He's a God of redemption. He's a God of fellowship and a God of restoration. So it says that he was, let's read it again. And by faith, when he was tried, he offered up Isaac, and he that received the promises offered up his only begotten son. So Abraham's faith was tested. Your faith will be tested. My faith will be tested. All across the world today, by the multiplied thousands and millions and on it goes of Christians, true Christians, their faith is being tested. I believe a lot of marriages are being tested. A lot of families are being tested. I saw one report on the news that said that some parents just gave up on homeschooling. You know, their children had to come home, so they were forced to homeschool, and they were new to the frontline warfare that we've been doing in our home for probably, 6 years now. We got Purple Hearts and, you know, all kinds of medals of honor for our warfare. And they just, you know, been doing it for a few weeks, few months, and they just gave up. They gave up the ghost. They're like, I'm done, man. So, you know, people's faith is being tried. But you know what? Having your faith tried is a good thing because it does several things. The most important thing it does, it strengthens you, and it strengthens you to go to the next level. God will never put something on you in which your faith cannot handle. God will never put anything on you that your faith cannot handle. But when you accomplish that and you go to that level of victory and you conquer that one thing, then you go to the next level. Remember, you've heard this many, many times before. Next level, bigger devil. Next level, bigger devil. It's the truth. But God doesn't allow us to be overcome in the place that we are because he wants our faith to be strengthened. He wants us to win because he won. And we have to get that in our mind. We have to get that in our heart that God is for me. He's not against me. Well, if he's for me and against me, why not have so many battles? Because there's a devil. Because you have an enemy that still kills and destroys. You still have people who hate you. You still have people that want to hang you upside down by your toenails. And because of that, God says, I will bring you through, but you got to do it by faith. And if you fail in this particular battle, guess what? You take another lap and you go right back to Goliath again. You go right back to your enemy. You go right back to that level.
Man, I didn't want to hear that, preacher.
It's the truth, though. And if we just do it by faith the first time and say, God, help me, strengthen me. Even you can pray, say, God, help me in my unbelief. I mean, he's not against us. And this whole thing about faith, we you know, I know preachers, they make it so, you know, astronomically crazy. And how can I ever obtain to this faith? And how can I ever be like you? And, oh, you must walk on water. Please, far from it. Watch the word. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, he was what? Tested, offered up Isaac, and he that received the promises offered up his only begotten son. Now you're seeing an example through Abraham of what God was going to do through Jesus Christ. So let's look at one more verse, and then we're going to look at that story. Of whom it was said that in Isaac thy seed shall be called. So God gives Abraham a promise, and he says to Abraham, in Isaac, that seed that is coming, all the promises will be. So it goes back to faith seed. in Isaac. I'm going to bless you. In Isaac is your promise. But guess what? I'm going to test you, Abraham. Will you still love me? Will you still follow me? Will you still obey me when I ask you to give me the promise? Will you still go to church? Will you still tithe? Will you still give? If I say, give me back the promise, give me back that seed, give back what belongs to me, could you still do it? I know my wife and I were challenged with this many, many years ago as we began in ministry, and this was taught to us. And many, many times we've come to the altar and we'd lay down our promises and our future, even the promise of children. Some of you all know the story of the length of time it took for us to have children and all these different things and ministry and failed opportunities and missed opportunities and all kinds of stuff that took place. And some of this is in Jennifer's book, Pursuing Him in Spite of Them. And the faith of God that resided within us allowed us to see beyond the failure into the future. And if we just gave up the promise and just said, God, take over and take control, we knew one day he would fulfill it. Even when we thought this was the time, oh God, this is the place, we had no idea it was an Ishmael. Or had no idea that it was not to be. But God knew. And some of y'all watching me right now, you're going through the same thing. Whether it was relational, whether it was business, church, whatever. Think about this with Abraham. So let's go look at that. Let's go to Genesis chapter 22. Yeah, that's where I want to take you. Let's go. Let's look at this amazing, awesome story. And let's build our faith together. Let's go to verse 1. Yeah. You know, this is the thing about faith. Sometimes you got to lay things down. Faith isn't always. Can I say this? We've did a pretty bad job of this with preachers. Because a lot of times with faith preachers, or talking about faith, it's always, he's always that 7-foot dude up there, you know, with Mr. Brawny, Rambo. And he's walking through fire and, you know, he's catching bullets with his teeth, caught an arrow, grabs lightning out of the sky. What a man of faith. And it may seem that way with some of the stories we've heard. But the truth of the matter is sometimes in faith, there's a place of brokenness to where you're broken and you just say, God, I give up the dream. I just give it up because having you is more important than the dream. And those men don't show this side of the reality of faith. Again, everything's so larger than life. But watch this with Abraham. And I read this again today, and I'm going to tell you something. It just super, super blessed me all over again and just totally wiped me out. Plus that song tonight. So I'm all wiped out up here, okay? So I'm just kind of like, what does my wife say sometimes? I'm an emotional basket case. Somebody says, you're that way all the time. No, you know how people get really just flustered in God. I mean, he's blessing me right up here right now. Watch this. Verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. Now, that's not right. We know it's testing. He tested Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. I want you to see this now. Listen to this preacher real quick. This is Abraham, the father of our faith. This is in the beginning, journeys of man, all the things that have took place from the garden. There is no Bible. There's no iPhone. There's no Google. You can't holler out to Alexia or whatever that stupid thing is. Or the NSA, really, that's what it is. You can't do any, you don't have a reference book, you don't have a Strong's Concordance, you can't get on ignitedchurchlife.com, you can't call your pastor, you can't text, you can't email. Abraham had to believe this was God. And when I read this again, it just hit me with a 2x4. He didn't have any reference. He had to trust the voice of God and have faith in him. This is heavy. Look at us and all the stuff we have, and we have the hardest time being faithful to God. We have the hardest time hearing him. The reason is we have so many voices in our lives. We're like a router. I mean, we got stuff just flowing all around us, and we don't get quiet with God, and we don't listen to his word to hear what he has to say and tune into heaven. Abraham had no reference. He couldn't go to church and hear the preacher say, you know, Abraham, there's a God in heaven. He was kind of in the beginning of all this, especially being the father of faith. So put that in perspective as you read this with me, okay? So there's no iBible. There's nothing like that. And it came to pass after these things that God did test Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here am I. Here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest. Notice he throws the word lovest in there. This wasn't just some type of mamby-pamby type of love. This was a fatherly love. You got to remember, he doted over Isaac. He made a mistake with Ishmael. He watches his wife, who's barren at 90, produce a child. They call the son Laughter. He laughs. I could just picture Abraham just all over, heads over heels, in love with his boy. That's my boy right there. There's old Isaac. Look at him. Look at him. Look at Isaac, man. Look at him run, honey. Come on, folks. You know what I'm talking about. Maybe he went out hunting for the first time or fishing for the first time. You could just picture the great fatherly love that he had. And he said, get into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I tell thee of. Solomon's temple was built in that region, which is very interesting. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and he cleaved the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which the God had told him. Verse 4. Then on the third day, hello, there's a third day anointing. On the third day. See, none of this is by mistake. This is all the plan of God to give us a picture of faith of what he's going to do with his son, Jesus. But he needed a man on the earth in the flesh to operate by faith. And he found that man in Abraham. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes, and he saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide here while with the donkey, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. All right, now, follow the story with me. Abraham has no reference, no compass. He's never met God before to give him a reference other than this experiences he's had since he got, you know, saved, if you will. He came encounter with the living God, the creator of heaven and earth. So he tells these guys, he says, watch this. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide here with the donkey or the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. So Abraham was a man of faith. And Abraham knew he would come back with his son. But God said, I want you to take your son up there and I want you to sacrifice him. Now, before you jump to conclusions and go ahead and try to figure things out, in that particular time, in that region of that world, during Abraham's life, they did human sacrifices. So it wasn't foreign to him. But he said he's going to come back with his son. You see, Abraham saw something by faith. This is an amazing story. Watch this, verse 6. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and then went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? I mean, I think Isaac's pretty smart. Just picture this with me now. Isaac is following Dad. And Dad's got the fire, he's got the wood, he's got the rope, and he's got a knife. But there ain't no lamb. You got to be human for a second here. Don't be so super spiritual as people are. Well, I'm sure Isaac just... Isaac was probably thinking, what in the world, man?
Dad, there's no lamb.
Watch what Abraham says. And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went to them together. They went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there, and he laid the wood on in order. And he bound Isaac, his son. He bound Isaac and he said, no, son, notice this, it didn't say he knocked him over the head cold. Knocked him out. Look, son, poof. Didn't hand him no wine. No wiki. That's whiskey, if you don't know what that is, wiki. Didn't do anything. Watch what it says again. And they came to the place which they had that God had told them of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order. There's a lot to all this. Remember the wood? It's talking about the cross. It's pointing towards the cross. It's all prophetic. It's all faith. And bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Didn't say anything about fighting Isaac. Didn't say that he wrestled. Do you see something? There's something that many preachers missed here, is that Isaac walked in faith too. Isaac walked in faith, that the faith of Abraham was transferable to Isaac because Isaac followed his father. Isaac followed in the footsteps of faith. And there's a powerful principle there. Many preachers overlook it. But he didn't fight him. He did not fight him. Did Jesus fight to go to the cross? No. No greater love have a man that he lays down his life for his friends. Jesus was a lamb that went to what? The slaughter. Remember, he could have called what? Legions. He could have called angels. He could have just called heaven and earth to his order, to his cry. And he could have been freed easily. Easily. With a snap of a finger. But he didn't. Again, so many great faith parallels here prophetically. He said, My God will provide himself a lamb. Verse 9, and they came to the place. Then in verse 10, and Abraham stretched forth his hand, and he took his knife to slay his son. Abraham was going to kill him. I mean, just stop for a second. Just put your mind in that position in imagination. Abraham stretched forth his hand and took his knife to slay his son. He was going to kill Isaac. By faith. In faith. Through faith. Now somebody said, well, this is crazy, man. What a crazy story. But watch what happens. And the angel of the Lord called out unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. I'd have been like, thank you, Father, for calling me. Isaac was probably like, woohoo, just in time. I appreciate that. Thank you, Lord. He's the angel of the Lord. He calls out to him. And he said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and he looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh. Woo! Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. So much more there to read. I encourage you to read that. So let's go back to Hebrews chapter 11. We see this absolutely amazing story. God is testing Abraham in his faith. I promised you a seed. And through that seed, through Isaac, would come all of the promises that I had spoken to you. But are you willing to give it up, Abraham? Is your love there for me? Is your faith there for me? Are you willing to put it upon the altar? And Abraham did. And he was. It wasn't that God was looking for him to sacrifice his son. He was looking for him to sacrifice the promise. He was looking for him to sacrifice the dream. And he did. You say, how did he? He didn't sacrifice Isaac. Yes, he did. Not like you and I would think in the natural. So by faith, verse 17 again, by faith Abraham, when he was tried or tested, offered up Isaac. And that had received the promise, offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. In other words, he already received Isaac as being raised from the dead. In his heart, before he ever took the knife, before he ever went up to Moriah, as soon as he made the agreement with God, by faith he knew that Isaac would be resurrected. Yes, he did. Because he knew he was going to come back with his child. He knew that. That's why he told those servants to wait. See, faith sees beyond all the things of the natural. Faith sees the big picture. Faith sees the promises. Faith sees what God sees. And Abraham did it. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that awesome? That's what you and I are supposed to do. So in verse 18, it was in Isaac. That seed faith, as I mentioned earlier. Then we look at John chapter 12. I don't have time to go there. John chapter 12, verse 24, talking about the seed dying. And with that produces life. And Abraham in his heart knew that God would raise Isaac back up. That's how much he knew the promise would come to pass. In the natural, it would be like, God, you want me to sacrifice my son? You want me to sacrifice the promise? This doesn't make any sense. But Abraham saw beyond sense. He saw beyond the human reasoning. And that's what faith does. I'm not talking about being presumptuous. I'm not talking about being crazy. I'm talking about walking in faith by the word of God, knowing that if God promised you and I something, he will fulfill it, even if he tells you to take it to the altar and let it die. You got to believe him enough that he's going to resurrect it. Isn't that good? Verse Go back to verse 19. Accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. So he already knew it. He already knew it was going to happen. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. So I want you to write this down as we close. Faith sees beyond the now. Faith looks into the future. I've mentioned that before. You need to see it again, especially in this verse. Faith looks into the future. It sees things. And faith also blesses. Faith is a blessing. Verse 21, by faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph. Now remember, he adopted them, Manasseh and Ephraim. He blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped him, leaning upon the top of his staff. So again, there's generational blessings, but there's also generational faith. Faith moves forward. Faith is future. Faith sees beyond where we are. It doesn't matter how much time we have on the clock prophetically, we should always be projecting our faith for the future. That's why we invest in our children. We invest in our young people. We invest in them and give them hope and dreams for a future. Not a false reality. We got to give them the truth of what the word is. I don't paint my children some false reality. I try to give them what's happening today with the future in the word of God and say, this is the coming reality. The Lord can tarry. Absolutely. But if we look at it closely, it doesn't appear to be so. It looks like his coming is ever so soon down this revelation road. And finally, by faith, Joseph, when he had died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave a commandment concerning his bones. He was still in Egypt. He was still in Egypt, and he knew there was a promised land that was given to Abraham. And so Joseph, by faith, said this: hey, guys, swear to me that when I pass, you take my bones and put them in the promised land. That's an incredible faith. That's faith that says, even though everything around me is gone, even though I cannot be here to see it, by faith, I believe there's coming a day when you're going to get out of Egypt. And when you do, put me in the promised land that was promised to Abraham, because I'm going there, whether I ever see it or not. You see, we got to do that right now. Folks, we need to do that. No matter how old we are, no matter what stage of life we're in, we got a plan for the future, even if we're here or not. Sow into the kingdom of God. Sow into young people. Sow into ministries. Sow into vision. Well, what if the Lord comes back? Well, he comes back. So what? You're busy doing what he said. What if he tarries and takes a little time? Well, guess what? And you go on before that. Your seed, the faith that you had, will live on. And people will be recipients of it. And don't worry, you'll get blessed in heaven and paid back beyond your imaginations and comprehensions. Woo! Faith is not an option. It's a lifestyle. Father, we love you. Thank you so much for the teaching of faith. Thank you for letting us see what Abraham did. Amazing, amazing. What a phenomenal prophetic transcript of what you were going to do through the Lord Jesus Christ, your only begotten Son. Thank you so much for the sacrifice that you made for us. And thank you that today we can live by faith. We love you and we bless you. For it's in Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen and amen.